Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin, and I'm joined by my Silver Hawk, Rich Stambolian.
Oh, hell yeah. That intro, when you hit that note in a very specific way, it fills me full of glee.
Glee, not joy.
Glee, joy, any positive emotion, when you hit that, all things, it fills me up on the inside.
Do you know, I hate like doing the same intro every week, but it's now become a thing. So now I have to stick to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It is what it is. Guys, so much to talk about today. The show's all about professional wrestling. The good, the bad, the wonderful, the terrible. Some terrible stuff yesterday. Jeez. Oh, my God. Brian Kendrick, big no-no. Big. He was a bad boy. What can I say? We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Guys, we are live every Thursday, 10:30 Eastern, here on our YouTube channel, Matt Men Podcast, youtube.com/MattMenPodcast. We're today also, we're streaming on the F4W Twitch account at twitch.tv/F4WVideo and on Twitter. You could go to my Twitter account, at Andrew Zarian, and you could watch there also. I believe we have like 50 people there. Pretty cool. Guys, where do you want to begin, Rich? I mean, there's a lot to talk about. Last night's Dynamite was a lot of fun. That main event was great. We have the Brian Kendrick controversy from yesterday. We have Shane McMahon controversy. You tell me where you want to go.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's do Brian Kendrick right at the top and then follow it up with Shane, because I feel like both lend itself to kind of interesting morning conversations.
You know, when the conversation gets into Zionist reptilians, I'm kind of out of it.
Yeah.
I check out. I'm like, all right, guys, I'll see you next week. See you, everybody. So the story is that about 9 years ago, he did a bizarre shoot interview where, and I had seen this. I'm almost convinced that I had seen this like years ago, where he kind of dives into like that whole David Icke conspiracy.
Okay.
I don't want to get demonetized or banned here on any of the platforms, but like essentially what he said is that like he's like I feel like I have to do it in like an Alex Jones voice.
Yeah. Zionistic reptilians harvesting organs in Haiti, and
is that good? That was a good one.
That's really good.
He kind of went into that. He went into center of like hollow earth theory. By the way, Mole Men, listen, we've been talking about it, you know, he believes that the sun is actually not hot, but it's ultra cold.
Oh boy. Yeah. Listen, man.
Yeah.
I think everybody doesn't need to express how they feel in public forums, as it seems like it's not just him, but it's a lot of folks out there. Go on social media.
Oh, dude.
And how many insane takes of everything do you hear? And it's like, listen, what if 10 years you're in some kind of like position of celebrity, and then somebody's gonna see your weird tweet about, you know, hollow earth, etc., flat earth, and all this stuff, and that's gonna come to light? You know, it's just, you know, I don't want to hear what the guy behind me at the post office thinks.
Yeah.
About,
I think that's the problem, right? Sometimes we have too much access to say our thoughts too often. Okay, so you know, these dopey comments I see constantly, right? Like I see it all the time. But like there's something. Oh, also, he a little bit of Holocaust denial.
Oh, jeez.
Allegedly, he had stated that he kind of subscribes to the belief that only a quarter of a million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, that the chambers weren't what they were. Listen,
you have to go and do it.
I think globally we understand what a terrible, terrible thing that was. And there is this weird thing, man, that everybody has to have this contrarian point of view. I don't get it. It's not something like, I love wacky conspiracies. Okay.
Yes.
I love it. I get when they're harmless, right? Like I'm not, when they're harmless,
like Bigfoot.
Okay, fine. You know what? You want to talk to me all about reptilians? I'll get into that. The second you go into Zionist organ harvesters, I'm kind of out of it. The Anunnaki stuff, I find fascinating. The fact that Ancient Aliens has been on the air for 20... Listen, I can watch it in an entertaining way and be like, okay, this is wacky stuff, and it's funny. However, absolutely. I think everybody needs... Like, there's this feel for some people like, oh, no, that's not good enough, dude. That's not good enough. We need to up it a little bit more, right?
I need to believe in something.
And I'm going to... You know, he put out a tweet saying, like, listen, it was terrible. He took full accountability to it for it.
Yeah.
He said those were never his true beliefs. He, you know... Listen, and I think in 2017, he did an interview with Lillian Garcia where he essentially said the same thing, where he said some terrible, horrible things and he regrets it. And I get it. But, and also there was the argument that I could be like, listen, dopey 20-year-olds say a lot of dopey things. All right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was 32. Yeah, or, he was 32. He wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't 20. He was 32.
It could be the Hogan Terry Bollea thing. In a very poor
fashion. That he was doing a work. No. I don't think he was working it. Listen, man, I'm not for anybody ruining their careers or getting canceled. Yeah. I'm not a big cancel culture guy. I think a lot of people say stupid things. I think we've all said some stupid things, and we kind of have to take self responsibility for those. And obviously, there's a negative outcome from this. He was not on the show on AEW last night. I don't know who's gonna want to work with him in the foreseeable future, but you know, I think maybe this is a good life lesson that maybe you shouldn't repeat every wacky theory that you stumble upon. You know, maybe you shouldn't be putting out a shoot interview 9 years, you know, 9 years ago. You know, I find it bizarre, and I'm gonna give the story beforehand, right? And I'm gonna tell you, like, a lot of people are like, well, he definitely cannot believe what he said. What I used to do a show with Spencer every Friday, where we would take phone calls. It was like a total free... It was called the free-for-all, but it was a total free-for-all of phone calls. And Spencer told a story about how his father in World War II was the only Jew in the battalion or whatever you call it. I don't know everything about the situation, but whatever it was. He's World War II, right? He's fighting the front lines. He's, you know, he's telling the story about his father. And he was sitting down, and it was a bunch of people with him, and they looked at his father and they said, this is, by the way, this is the 40s, right? Early 40s, you know, this is not current time. And one of the guys goes, he's like, hey, listen, you're Jewish, right? Because he sees that he's wearing a Star of David. He goes, yeah. He goes, how do you hide it? And he's like, hide what? He's talking about, you know, his chain. He's like, the horn. Okay, this is in the 40s. And Spencer's telling the story. And his point was, it's... these conspiracies, these like crazy theories, people actually believed it.
Oh yeah,
and,
for sure.
And I turned around, dude, and I was like, Spencer, but now we're in the 2010s or whatever year it was. Nobody believes that stuff. That's crazy. Even then, that's crazy. He's like, no, dude, people believe that. We got a caller, and this was not a rib, okay? This was not a joke. This guy called legitimately, and he was a regular caller, and he goes to me, he's like, Spencer, listen, I get it. I know that that's not true, but... like, that's why you guys wear a yarmulke, right? Because you have a bump. This man in 2000 and whatever, 10, believed that this was, in fact, a truth, right? So,
yeah, dude.
For some people, they just, they really believe this stuff. Now, I'm not saying Kendrick believes it, right? But there are a lot of people that have these wacky things that they heard once and they truly take as reality. Listen, I you know, it's scary. It's scary to me that people still think that way, and we could have that kind of thought process with all, you know, all the education in front of us with this, right? The knowledge to the freaking planet is in our hands.
Yes, and yet, I agree with you.
And yet, we hear things like that. So,
yeah.
Listen, man, I don't know what to say. I think, you know, Brian Kendrick realized that this is... wacky. By the way, the guy that called, very educated guy. I know a lot about him. I was just shocked that this was even a possible thought that he thought was a reality, or even the fact that he called to a radio show and brought it up. So I think for Kendrick, man, life lesson, you know, you could say all the dopey stuff you want, but there's consequences. And this is a consequence.
Yeah.
And I hope this is a life lesson.
You got to think about what you say.
Listen, he's not the only one, though. I'm going to tell you, we've had conversations with a lot of wrestlers.
Yes.
And last night I got a text from somebody and he's like, you think he's the only one? You think that's the worst one? He goes, I'm going to tell you, a lot of these guys that start early, they shouldn't be taking those bumps on their head That's what he left it at.
Yeah.
You know?
It's unfortunate.
So it is unfortunate, but it is, you know, but we're where we are now. Crazy stuff.
Listen, the further we get from history, the more people will start making shit up, you know?
Dude, we see that all the time. You know, I know we're going to get into wrestling, but like, I like TikTok when I'm taking the train, and people like start like, they're like, did you know that in Chicago in 1890, they built castles and then they demolished them all? These things were there from before. By the way, that's a new theory that I see all the time on TikTok. That the World's Fair, the Chicago World's Fair.
Oh, yeah.
You know how they built like the moat, like this whole beautiful Victorian or Edwardian era, like castles and stuff? They demolished it all because it was not built for like to occupy. It was just decor. And people believe that it was like an ancient empire in America that they showed and then they demolished to kind of get rid of. I don't know, man. Again, harmless conspiracy theory. Cool. But when you get into, you know, some of this more dangerous rhetoric, I think it's bizarre. I don't know. People should know better.
I thought you were talking about H.H. Holmes's murder castle in Chicago.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Which is another conspiracy theory that was proven completely false. Where, like, this guy said he murdered 26 people. He was put to death for murdering like one person, right? But the legend is that during the Chicago World's Fair in the 1800s, he commissioned a hotel to be built that he used as a murder palace.
Wow.
Yeah, look it up. It's pretty fascinating.
I gotta check it out.
It's not true at all, but there's like weird, because we're so far from it that people have these conspiracies that like he had like all these different rooms. He had like hatches that would just like dump bodies into like limestone so they would go away, and he would sell the bodies to like medical schools and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy. Let's talk about Shane.
Let's go.
Shane McMahon quietly released from WWE yesterday. Not so quiet because everybody knows about it, right?
His situation is very bizarre.
Very bizarre.
So let's go. Let's see. So essentially what happened, he was an agent. I'm sorry. He was a producer for the Rumble. They brought him in for that. He's produced a couple of Rumbles. The last two he produced, he was there for 2021. He was there for 2020, which I consider the best top, you know, in the top five of Royal Rumbles. Even that night, I started getting messages being like, oh, yeah, this is a total disaster. Chaos. Chaos was the word that was used over and over again by multiple people. It's very chaotic. It's chaos. It's chaotic. So I don't know everything that happened, obviously. There are other reports out there that detail it very well, where Shane got into it with his dad. There were situations where he was changing the order of people. I was personally told that there was an incident with Bad Bunny where Bad Bunny's spot was changed multiple times, or they were attempting to change it multiple times. Now, I don't know what number he was supposed to come out at. I know that he had worked predetermined spots. Like, we knew that Brock Lesnar spot would happen. We knew that he would do a couple of his, you know, high spots that we saw. I don't know exactly, but things got heated. That was the word that was used to me. I put out the tweet. You guys could go read on my timeline. But I don't know what happened, man. You know, I got to tell you, I have really not heard too much negative about Shane in the past.
Yeah.
He's always been very liked. I don't know what happened this time around. This whole theory that he was trying to put himself over, he was putting himself in a top spot. He was really pushing for Seth Rollins to come in the Rumble. Maybe he was given the helm of running this thing, and he really kind of took it and ran with it. I know him and Jamie Noble had some words. Very strange. I've never heard anything negative like this about Shane ever in the past, but apparently whatever happened, and his plans were scrapped. Now, I don't think he was fired in the way that people are envisioning it. I think he was just, they just scrapped the plan. They said, okay, this is not going to work, and he went home.
Like,
but he
classic.
Had big plans. You know, I was told that Lashley was a possible opponent for him early on in the month. And then it became Seth Rollins, and Shane was trying to put together that Seth Rollins thing for that spot to happen in the Rumble. I don't know, man. Do I want to see Shane McMahon and Bobby Lashley? No. Do I want to see Shane McMahon and Seth Rollins? No, not really. Do you?
You know,
at WrestleMania?
The Shane stuff for me was always fun, right? But does it really matter in the end? No. Do you want to see him take that crazy bump? I guess so. The guy's in his early 50s. You know, it could just be a case of this guy woke up on the wrong side of the bed, went to work, and was like, you know what? F this, F you, F that. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then, you know, the consequences are he got fired. I don't think he got fired like classic McMahon firing, which is what I assume people think that. You know, where it was like this big TV show episode of them having this blowout fight ending with him being fired. I think it was just, hey, listen, you're making people upset. We're going to let you go. Things aren't working out for you right now.
Now, I don't think he's gone. I think he'll eventually.
I don't.
We'll find out more. But
Hall of Fame.
It did turn into a very complicated situation. So the other thing that was interesting is that Tyson Kidd wasn't there to produce the women's match. Uh-huh. And I heard some reasoning. I got to confirm it, what I heard. But I don't. It was not a fun evening. I'll tell you that. That show was not a fun evening for a lot of people back there. And sometimes I think the problem was, you know, and we'll go into the Rumble, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the Women's Rumble was the better one because of all the surprises. But it had, I mean, the worst wrestling I've seen in a Rumble match in a while. And that's because you had a lot of people that haven't really worked in many, many years. So it was just the booking was strange to me. I enjoyed it watching it. I didn't hate watching it like other people did, but I also don't think it was one of the better shows. I think they really they could have done a little bit better with the Rumble match. Now the singles matches, I thought they did well. But you want to go into Rumble or you want to continue with news?
Let's get the news out of the way.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know what? We had fun watching the Rumble. I was hearing from so many people that I know that watch wrestling who were like, yo, that sucked, blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, well, how'd you watch it? Oh, I watched it alone in the dark eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know what I mean? Whereas like we had a great, did you not have a great time watching that Rumble?
Of course. Yeah. But you know, and we said this during the feed that, you know, when you're watching it the way that we're watching it, it's always fun. Even bad pay-per-views are a lot of fun because we're having a couple drinks. We're talking, you know, we're just bullshitting. But I rewatched it the following day. I watched it on Sunday morning because I wanted to talk about it on Wrestling Observer Live. And I have to tell you, I did not enjoy it as much as I did on Saturday.
Right.
But I did like the singles matches a lot more, and I disliked the Rumble matches a lot more. Excuse me.
You're saying.
I had to sneeze. I
Are you okay?
Myself. Yeah. Oh, my eyes fell out of my head. Sorry, Rich.
That's fine. Go for it.
So, all right, go ahead. You want to pick some more?
As far as the news goes, Rumble moments.
News goes.
I mean, I know you don't like Jackass, but I'm really digging the Sami Zayn Jackass feud. He crashed the Jackass world premiere and was chased out by Knoxville with a cattle prod.
I mean, okay.
I know you don't like it.
It's not my thing.
I know it's not your thing.
I'm not going to poo-poo on your stuff.
But you like Eric Andre, right?
I love Eric Andre's, yeah.
Okay. So I feel like it's,
Bird
it's
up.
It's in the similar vein.
I don't know why I like Eric Andre though. I really don't know. Bird up.
Bird up. All right, we talked about Brian Kendrick. Let's see here. Raw and NXT 2.0 will be presented with limited commercials next week on Sci-Fi.
Yes. They're moving to Sci-Fi because of the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. And I believe they're going to be limited commercials and the a lot of picture-in-pictures to kind of give it some sort of oomph.
Now, let me ask you something. Do you like the picture-in-picture?
I don't know. It's better than a commercial, right?
But does it hold your interest as much?
Than the commercials?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. No, it doesn't hold my interest as much. But I would prefer it over not having the action.
Okay. All right. You want to move on to the Mania update?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. Apparently, the Hall of Fame will air live after SmackDown from the American Airlines Center, as per PW Insider. It will be one ticket for fans.
Yeah. So they're doing SmackDown, and then they're going right into the Hall of Fame. So they're just gonna do that simple stage. You know, they're gonna take off the ropes and do what they did at the one in Brooklyn, I guess. Remember when they ran the Hall of Fame in Brooklyn? I guess they'll run it like that. Where that guy ran up on Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the tentative matches here are Brock and Roman, Ronda and Charlotte, and Becky and Bianca. These are tentative as of right now. We'll see.
Yeah, it's tentative. It's only February.
It's only February and a lot could change, but the Ronda stuff we'll get into in a little bit here because there's a lot to say about Ronda Rousey returning at the Rumble. WWE Shaw highlights Raw. Elimination Chamber buildup. Lashley will defend the title. Brock was added after Lashley refused to give him a title shot right then. So great. Brock came out in his gear. By the way, I love this new version of Brock Lesnar.
Loosey-goosey Brock?
Loosey-goosey Brock is fantastic, dude. That's such a great way of putting it. Such a great way.
He's not I like the comedy aspect of it, but it's also like remember when he wasn't like a great promo?
Yeah.
And it was stiff and kind of contrived and it was like classic wrestler. I think whatever clicked works so well now. I thoroughly enjoyed Monday night's like combative promo versus Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, that was great. No, these two are really good together. Really good. By the way, we should talk about that match because I thought it was done really well. I didn't really have too much expectations. I was excited to see it. For something that was built up for like 19 years of people wanting this match to happen, or 18 years from wanting this match, I think it did its part. But I'll tell you, Lashley was getting tired of taking those suplexes. He was dumping himself on his side, and he was trying to like avoid every possible way that thing hurting him. Seth announced that he was added based on what happened at the Rumble.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Austin Theory defeated. By the way, that finish. I asked a bunch of people about what happened in that match. Everybody gave me the same answer of they didn't want him to lose. Right? They didn't want him to lose, and they didn't want Roman to lose. In any, obviously, but they came up with this creative finish where the ref picks up his hand and it falls on the rope. And on paper, everybody said this sounded great. But it kind of looked like the ref placed his hand on the ropes and he grabbed it. What he should have done was the rope should have just done one of these, you know?
Yeah.
So that didn't execute the way they wanted. But Seth Rollins is now added. Austin Theory defeated Kevin Owens to qualify. Riddle defeated tag team champion Otis to qualify. Mm-hmm. This was after the scooter race that was taking place in the first half of the show. All right. AJ Styles defeated Rey Mysterio. Ronda Rousey promo was interrupted by Becky. Ronda did a judo throw, said she would make Mania decision for Friday before leaving.
Great.
Enter Lita to confront Becky. Lita challenges Becky at Elimination Chamber for the title. Becky accepted.
Fun. That's fun.
All right. That's fun. What'd you think of Raw overall? I thought it was jam-packed. They did a lot. They set up a lot.
It was all right. I like the Brock stuff, and then my attention kind of dwindled like after that, you know? It's interesting, like do you feel like the fact that the WrestleMania sign caught on fire on Saturday was a omen for how the rest of this year is gonna go?
Not only once
to WrestleMania.
Not only once. Caught on fire twice. What a fantastic omen about those Rumbles.
Bright, do you think that's like an ill omen for WrestleMania season, or is it just, oh boy, you know, like what have we gotten ourselves into?
Yeah, I think it's one of those. I don't know, man. You know, a lot of the plans early on to now changed for this Rumble. I can't remember in recent years that we've been like heavily covering this where I was told Matt, like, last year, for example, right? Last year, we were still in the pandemic. We didn't know what was happening. It was still a lot of confusion. But like 2019, 2020, like I kind of knew, even with all that confusion, and 2021, I kind of knew what the matches were going to be months prior. Now everything is all over the place. So I don't know if that's a positive scramble or that's like a negative scramble. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah, it should be fun regardless because we're going to do a watch along and all that stuff. You know, I feel like that kind of thing sets it apart specifically, you know, if you watch wrestling in that way.
Yeah.
You know, because like, when we do it, it's it's slightly analytical, but we're not getting into the nitty gritty of, like, you know, like, people were tearing that Rumble apart, dude.
They really were, yeah. But I'm curious, you know, why? What was different about it to them that they didn't like?
Yeah, I think now it's interesting how, like, you know, like the phrase armchair quarterback when it comes to football. I think so many people now are like armchair bookers, and I find that very fascinating, you know, in like the landscape of like social media, because how many conversations do you have a week where somebody turns around and goes, well, Andrew, they should have done this.
Yeah, and then you know what I'm going to say to them? I'm going to be like, listen, dude, you don't know what they're thinking backstage. Maybe they believe in Zionist reptilians.
Oh, jeez.
And that's why they're not getting a push.
All right. NXT had Imperium beating the Diamond Mind. Gunther, your favorite. Gunther. Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner. You had Raquel Gonzalez beating Cora Jade. Wendy Chu beating Amari Miller.
Are you a fan of Wendy Chu?
I like her. I like the gimmick. I don't think it's like WWE's version of Orange Cassidy. I think it's WWE's version of like Gudetama.
Okay.
The egg that's always asleep.
The egg, okay.
And you had Bron Breakker and Ciampa beating Legado de Fantasma. Decent NXT. Nothing to write home about.
Nothing to write home about. Decent.
Yeah.
That show should not be 2 hours, I'll tell you that.
1 hour.
Yeah.
Network classic. Yep. You get that pocket of wrestling.
Yep.
The NXT that we love. And it's interesting. You know what? Like, if it was an hour with the same people, for some reason, don't you feel like it would be better?
Oh yeah. I had this conversation with someone over there. I'm like, it should be an hour. And they're like, yeah, man, you're preaching to the choir. It should be an hour. I think everybody realizes that. Even NXT, dude, I'm going to tell you, revisionist history. Everybody is preaching about how great NXT was when it was on the network. You know, peak NXT. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, man, from the analytics, and every time that I spoke to people that knew those metrics, they were like, yeah, man, two of them get really high viewership and they do great. And the other two people really don't care because they're like filler shows.
Yeah.
You know, from the taping. So, you know, I think now it kind of exposed their ass a little bit being 2 hours, even prior to this change. And now they have a whole different approach to it. So this is what it is. It truly is developmental, where Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa are the two biggest stars on the show.
And that's totally fine because, you know, Bron Breakker, I think when they build that big moment for Bron Breakker, it's going to be something cool. If it, you know, as long as he stays healthy, and obviously if they like him, because he seems like a really coachable guy and he's super young, 24 years old.
They love him right now.
Next Tuesday on Sci-Fi, you're getting the Dusty Classic semifinal. Grizzled Young Vets versus Creed Brothers. I'm getting nervous. Somebody's highlighting the notes right now.
Okay, it's good.
He's going to hit that delete button. You're getting MSK versus Malik Blade and Idris Enofi. LA Knight versus Sangha and Wendy Chu versus Tiffany Stratton. This is a solid show.
All right. It is what it is. I'm not that high on it right now, man. I'm not that high on NXT, and it's sad.
It seems like that's your blanket statement, and it's not a bad thing for WWE in general, where you're like,
it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, when was the last time you were truly entertained, not as far as like a watch along goes, but just on TV, truly, truly entertained by something that happened on WWE?
On WWE?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the last crown jewel I was very entertained by. That stood out to me.
Yeah. Oddly enough,
their pay-per-views have been good. You know, I don't think there's anything really wrong with their pay-per-views, but I do think, you know, this should have been a show that's a constant home run for them. And I think that's the problem here. When you go into Royal Rumble, everybody expects a home run, but maybe we got onto third base, you know, and that's never going to be good enough because the expectation for this show, it's a beloved show. It's a beloved match. And people have very high expectations of what they want to see. They want to see the returns. They want to see the old, you know, the legends. They want to see all that stuff. And, you know, you get it some years and some years you don't. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's like an interesting like kind of trends. I mean, we could say this arguably over the last couple of years, but it seems like with the stuff on the top of the card, it's pretty well thought out, right?
Yeah.
Your Bobby Lashley and Brock and your Roman stuff. But it seems like everything else, there's minimal concentration on, you know? And I kind of, and like, obviously we don't work there. You know, we have our connections, but it's interesting how it's like, there's no emphasis on really on like your supplementary belts, right?
They have conditioned, and not that they're attempting to do it this way, but they have conditioned the audience into not believing into non-mega matches. You don't believe in those matches. You think nothing will happen because it's not a pay-per-view match. Nothing will happen because it's not the chosen one. I think if they, you know, they could easily change that in like 6 weeks. It takes 6 weeks of TV conditioning to kind of change the pattern. You know, have some title changes happen on TV, man. Put why not do a Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley on Raw? Why not?
Right, right.
Why not have a world title match with Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns on SmackDown? See, this is they have fallen into a pattern that is so, I mean, just so organized where it's now a detriment.
Yeah, but also like, do you, and let's talk, this is just like a hypothetical, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's also some form of like corporate FU to other wrestling companies to not have such emphasis on belts and such? Because you hear it from ex-WWE wrestlers where the belts there are more of they're a prop more than anything
else. WWE.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a great example. By the way, Elite POV in the chat. Hey, it's fellow WWE employee, Andrew Zarian.
You have been under their payroll for quite some time.
since 1984, man.
Cash and check, baby.
Here's a good example, right?
Okay.
John Moxley facing, give me like a workhorse in that company.
In WWE?
No, AEW.
Last night, good example. Let's say like Wheeler Yuta, the guy's trying to get. No,
give me someone a little bit more established. Give me like someone
Frankie
below.
Kazarian.
Okay, Frankie Kazarian, John Moxley, Frankie Kazarian for the title in the main event. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Frankie Kazarian is going to beat John Moxley? No, I don't. But I'm still intrigued by that match. I still want to see that match. Cesaro and Bobby Lashley in the Raw main event.
Okay.
I should say, man, you know what? I gotta wait till 11th seed is finished. I wanna see this match. I wanna see what Cesaro could do, right? But I don't. And that's nothing to do with me and my wants and my likes, because that's a match that I want to see. It has to do more with the emphasis put on, is this must-see TV?
Right.
Right? I should not contemplate if I want to watch TikTok on my phone or watch the main event on Raw. That should never be a thought that goes through my mind as someone that covers wrestling and someone that loves pro wrestling. WWE, AEW, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm conditioned to not really care because either nothing is going to happen, it's going to be a DQ finish, it's not going to lead to anything, Cesaro's not getting a push from this, Lashley's not gaining, you know, notoriety as a champion. You kind of fall into this, well, it's just the match. And that is a problem. And I think that's the main problem for WWE. You can talk about the creative all you want, but when matches just become just the match, you know, an IC title match should matter.
Exactly. I think that, you know, that's the point. Like, when was the last time you really cared about, like, that they put emphasis on, like, huge IC title match or huge U.S. championship? You know what I mean?
Here we go. Here we go in the chat, right? James in our chat. Rey versus AJ from Monday. Right?
Okay.
Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles had a qualifier match.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was buzzing about this.
Right.
WWE fans weren't buzzing about it on Twitter. Because I was on social media that whole night because I was really curious to see how people are going to react to this. And I wasn't on mine. I was looking at the hashtags for WWE because, you know, our bubble is a little bit more developed based on our audience, who I follow, right? These are people that tweet with us. They engage with us. It's not the general norm. People were not really. It was a fantastic match. It was a great match. Right. There was no real buzz. That's a problem.
But is it a problem in general or just for diehard wrestling fans?
I think it's a problem in general because the casual fans now will many will turn into the diehards and you're preventing that from happening. There's no emphasis on importance of matches. The reason why Eddie Guerrero became world champion and Eddie was so beloved was because of those matches on Nitro.
Yeah.
Right? Those cruiserweight matches. People loved it. People were into it. Why? Because you were taught that this is an important thing. This is a very unique thing that you're going to see that you can't get somewhere else. That's why people loved Eddie Guerrero. You know, this is it. Just how it is. It's just if you tell people that this should be important to you, it becomes important to you until it's not, until you're conditioned not to. And that was the demise of WCW at the end of the day. You know, and I'm not saying that that's where WWE is or they're going to end up like that, but they need to get very careful with how they're developing talent and the importance of how important is this guy to me? Should I care about him? If I don't care about him, then what are we doing here? Every match I should care about. Some less, right. Some more, but I should care about it. I shouldn't have this attitude of, well, it's just AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio. It's not going to go anywhere. They're just having a match.
Right. It's kind of fascinating, you know, because like WWE, the inner workings of WWE are seems like they're consistently changing, constantly changing and shifting to different things. You know, I agree with you 100%. AJ versus Rey should have popped every single person that's a wrestling fan, but it didn't, right?
How many times have you called me or somebody, you know, we used to do this all the time. Where I would send you a text, I'm like, dude, put on Raw now. Put on SmackDown now. This match is fire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We do that with AEW still, like in the chat. I don't get those messages from my friends anymore about Raw. And that's scary. And I am an advocate for great wrestling. I don't care if you don't like WWE. I like WWE. I like WWE matches. I like certain matches from them. But I also don't like a lot of the stuff that they do. And I'm capable of saying, listen, this isn't for me. I do the same for AEW constantly. And we talk about this all the time about AEW and some of their problems. I like, as a whole, I love wrestling. But there's a lot of stuff happening, especially on the WWE side, that I feel is going to disenfranchise people even more. And they need to be very careful. And they need to become very aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Rich. I went on a rant.
No, no worries. That's what this show is all about. do you want to go into Dynamite?
Dab? Hold on, but do you want to see me dab?
I do want to see you dab.
Okay, ready? Ready?
I'm ready.
Ready?
I'm ready. All right,
there you go. Do you want to see me do curling? Since it's the Winter Olympics
I do
want to
see
up?
You do curling, yeah.
There you go.
I like your curling better than your dab. I think it's funny that you have to prepare everybody for the dab. Like, oh, wait, here it comes.
Because it's terrible. It's a terrible dab.
Awful dab. I want to see you do the stanky leg next. All right. Do you want to go into Dynamite and then do some questions?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Oh, we got to talk about Ronda. Let's talk about Ronda before we go to AEW. So Ronda Rousey showed up at the Rumble, number 30.
Great.
A lot of criticism of Ronda, and I'm gonna defend her here. Yeah. A lot of people said that she did not look good in the ring. No, she did not look good in the ring. Not great in the ring. I think she was... Listen, you know, I spoke to... I'll give you an example. Like, I was texting with Lance the other day, and he brought up something interesting that a lot of people don't see, right? And he's someone that produced the Rumble. The Rumble's a match that you got to know how to work, right? Because a lot of stuff happens, and a lot of bad... Like, things could go awry. Things could... You know, it's not as easy to script your spots, because if you're in there for 8-9 minutes, it's just like, you got to have good command of the ring. With this.
Yeah.
Ronda, including a lot of the other women in that match, you know, they have not worked for a while. And it's a great example of exposing you. Even though you're kind of protected by everybody in the ring, you could get exposed. I think that's what happened to Ronda. She wasn't really ready to return to the caliber that people wanted her to return. She just had a baby. She's just training. She's just getting in shape. And now everybody's saying, like, well, what kind of match is this going to be at WrestleMania? It's not going to be... I expect that match to be on fire between Charlotte or whoever she challenged, right? Let's say Charlotte. Between Charlotte and Becky. Charlotte doesn't want to look like a fool at WrestleMania, and neither does Becky. They're going to work they're going to work really hard at making this match work. And I thought Ronda's promo, everybody was like, well, she doesn't want to be there. I'm like, that's a character she's playing, guys. She's playing a role. And this is someone that wouldn't be there if she didn't want to be there. She just had a baby. She obviously wants to be there. It's not about the money. She's settled. She lives on a freaking farm. She has her whole life. She's there because she loves wrestling. And the criticism is so bizarre. Like, There is gatekeeping, though, here happening, right? Like, people don't like Ronda because it takes a spot, but I don't think people understand the business decision behind Ronda.
Right.
You know, there's... Listen, we could want these five-star, four-star matches all we want, but at the end of the day, you still have to draw in a new audience, and who better than a Ronda Rousey to draw a new audience? We'll see what the ratings will be the next... I mean, next week won't count because they're on Sci-Fi, but the next couple of weeks, you know, let's see what's happening with the ratings going into WrestleMania season, because I expect a lot of these things to ramp up a little bit.
All right.
So what did you think of Ronda? Are you a fan of Ronda? I don't know.
I like Ronda. I think, you know, listen, like, I don't, this is what turns me off about social media. I don't get the hate, the misplaced hatred for Ronda Rousey. You know, like, to me, it's like, I'm not saying who cares, but at the same time, it's like, who cares? You know, like, so what? She's on TV. Big deal. You know, she won the Royal Rumble. I won $20. Awesome.
You did win 20. You won $20. I sent you $21.
And from Kyle, too.
Big did he send you the money?
He did send me the money.
Okay, good.
But listen, I think it's cool that she's there. Is she going to have a great match? Probably. Is she going to do like weird shit? Probably.
Probably. You know? Dude, the cat eyes has to go, though. I'm not a big fan of the cat eyes.
Not a fan of those cat eyes. Did you like her outfit? Because I know I saw a lot of people taking a dump on her outfit. It was like people tore her.
Guys,
apart, you know?
Guys,
unfairly.
She just had a baby. You think she's going to show up in her skirt and the tiny shorts? Give. I think it's a lot of people that don't understand what your body goes through with childbirth. Like I saw some of the wackiest comments about what she was wearing. I'm like, I can just leave her alone. Like she'll be fine. She'll be fine. Give her like a couple months. She'll be okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like again, it's a who cares situation.
Who cares?
You know?
All right.
Like, is
Dynamite.
This really gonna matter? Yeah.
Let's do it. No, you do it.
You do it. All right, I'll do it. Jon Moxley beat Wheeler Yuta with Orange Cassidy and Danhausen. I got a question for you about Danhausen.
Yeah.
So this guy, you know, a couple of weeks in a row, he shows up and does like the spooky fingers. Kind
I love
of,
it,
right?
By the way. That thing, it does something like, like endorphins start pumping through me, like serotonin gets released. It's like, I took a handful of opioids every time he does this. I get this instant sense of euphoria.
I wish there was more production behind the Danhausen fingers, as if it was like a 1940s magician. You know, puff of smoke.
Yeah.
And then here it is. You know, do you think...
Do I do a good one? Is this good? Is that good?
No, it's terrible. Like,
it's terrible?
All your physical impressions are terrible. Let's get that out of the way. They're hysterical, but they're terrible.
Why? I think that's a really good Danhausen.
Let's see it again. Oh, boy. That's it looks like you're about to do Thriller. I want to see
immaculate.
Zombie
Thank
makeup
you.
doing Thriller. Do you think in a wild situation, Danhausen would have benefited from going to WWE first for like 6 months?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it would have been. Can you guys tweet Danhausen and tell him how much we love him and we need to have him on the show? Because I really would love to have Danhausen here. I don't know. You know, I got it. He's still not cleared to wrestle.
Yeah.
But there is something very special about that dude. I don't know what. He tickles me. I get a little excited every time he comes out there.
Yeah. He's very entertaining, wildly entertaining. You also had, after the match, Bryan Danielson came out and confronted Moxley. Great promo.
So this would have been a very different promo with Brian Kendrick. So, you know, Spanky and Danielson came up together. I'm very curious to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
So he cut out this promo. So, Rich... Pretty much what I just closed the notes. I'm an idiot.
Oh, no, you deleted the notes.
I deleted all the notes. Pretty much what he said is like, hey, why are we fighting? We should team up together.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that, man, I got chills during that. I thought it was great, right? I would like it if Daniel Bryan went around to the older vets, basically saying like, hey, let's team up. But then it's CM Punk. And they become the biggest heel tag team on that roster.
Let's see what happens with that. I'm curious what they're doing with Danielson here. I'm very curious what they're going to do with Danielson and Moxley. Obviously, it's going to turn into a match between the two eventually, but we'll see what happens. Maybe this is the pay-per-view match, and we get Danielson's first real loss. Ooh, no, we got a loss. I'm sorry. Second loss.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing that on a pay-per-view. I feel like that would be like a great half an hour brawl.
Listen, and here's a reality, right? He's never been able to beat an AEW world champion.
Danielson, right?
If Danielson can't beat Moxley, right? That could be a story for him. He couldn't beat Moxley. He couldn't beat Omega, and he couldn't beat Hangman. He just can't cut it on that top level.
We had Brandi Rhodes confrontation with Dan Lambert, a nice little face off.
Can I tell you, I hated this.
Really? Why?
I don't know, man. I think it's a little much. Like the back and forth, like the constant, like, you know, you're a skank promo that we're getting.
It still works in a but when, in a,
when
in
did
like
that narrative
regard,
start?
Right?
When did that narrative start that she's like a little loose?
I think her return, I think her return after the pregnancy, and it was immediately like Dan Lambert kind of calling her out and being like, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. And I feel like Dan Lambert is having the time of his life with these promos.
He made a comment about her boob job. He made comments about, you know, her being easy. Lambert and her went at it. Brandi cut a promo. The crowd hates Brandi.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Lambert became an instant babyface. And the segment, you know, one line was great. She said to Ethan Page, which we're huge fans of, that the only reason why he was hired is that they could get close to Josh Alexander, our friend of the show.
Yeah.
So I got to have him on, actually. I should message him. We should get him on because he's killing it in Impact right now. And Paige Van Zandt came out and they started brawling with Brandi. Do you want to see a Paige Van Zandt and Brandi match?
Yeah, sure. I'm cool all with right. that. I'm so low maintenance.
I know you're very low maintenance. All right, cool.
I'm so low maintenance when it comes to wrestling.
I'm kind of into like, Paige Van Zandt. I think she's crazy. Yeah. Like I think she's like a real crazy person. So I think it works. Very, very cool stuff with her. I like the UFC. I love the MMA guys getting involved. I know some people hate it, but I think it adds another sense of, you know, it being a sport. You know, when you bring these guys in. By the way, look at what WWE did.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, three of the top individuals on that pay-per-view. Now we got Paige Van Zandt, you know, a very no name in combat sport. Kings of the Black Throne.
Yeah.
Malakai Black and Brody King defeated Death Triangle, Pac and Penta. What did you think of this?
I loved it. I loved Pack wrestling with the blindfold and then removing it to pop the crowd. I really love where Kings of the Black Throne are going. It seems like it's a slow burn to where Malakai Black has probably always wanted to take that Aleister Black character, right?
Yeah, I love that character. I've always liked the Aleister Black character. I think this is interesting, and if they add anybody to this group, right, to create the stable a little bit more. I think Malakai Black has such an upside, dude, and we haven't even seen it yet. We haven't even seen him on that top level. But every night he goes out there, he's a fascinating character. His in-ring is unique. You know, we've been fans of him since he was Tommy End.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Really cool stuff. I think, you know, like, this is a good slow burn. AEW does a good job with the slow burn angles. You know, like, you don't really have to see these guys on TV every week, but you know they're there.
Who did he face at that Evolve show we saw him at in the gym?
I want to say Tim Thatcher.
Was it Timothy Thatcher? It could have been.
I want to say Timothy Thatcher or Hot Sauce.
It could have been Hot Sauce.
Yeah.
Not Gulak?
Not Gulak.
Somebody find out. 2016, 2017, it was in Brooklyn. I can't freaking remember. MG, can you look that up for me?
You also had Ruby Soho. He had Ruby Soho versus Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero. And then the Hangman promo. The Hangman promo I thought was interesting. I couldn't stop laughing because you had Dan Lambert and Jake the Snake and then Lance Archer coming out.
I know. It's a lot.
Like, it's a lot of dudes like talking on behalf of like this giant person. I thought it was interesting. It's like, I feel like Dan Lambert and Jake Roberts speaking for Lance is like your dad, but also your stepdad, who's somehow cool with your dad.
Your father and your uncle. Yeah.
Are like speaking up for you, you know?
Listen, it's fine. I would have liked to see Lance Archer go through a couple people before this match, you know, kind of build them. But all right, we'll get it. We'll see what happens. I'm curious about it, how it looks next week.
Yeah, same here. And then main event.
Main event.
MJF versus CM Punk. Finally, after it feels like this program was built over the last 7 years.
Yeah, and they gave this thing so much time. How long did this match go? There was 40 minutes left in the show when the match started.
Yeah.
So they fought on the outside. I got to tell you, though, the style of this match was very reminiscent of like 2005, right?
Yes.
It was a very traditional 2005, like, top tier indie style.
Absolutely.
It was slower. It wasn't current. You know, it was a nice throwback match. I enjoyed it a lot. Mm-hmm. Some people did not like the match.
Listen, Punk and MJF, I think they brought their A game. Like, right off the bat.
Okay, the only complaint that I have, a lot of funky ref spots.
There was a lot of funky ref spots.
They went to it a couple too many times, but I do think that all three of those guys in that ring worked super, super hard at making this thing work, and the payoff worked. But you want to run down the match?
Yeah. So, like you said, the match started 40 minutes left in the show. It was touted as a main event, so you knew there was not going to be anything after that. They fought everywhere. Fought outside the ring. They let a fan hit MJF. A lot of interesting spots. Punk doing the Pepsi plunge for the first time in 17 years. Pretty nuts, man. And the fact that this dude went full bore for pretty much like for over a half an hour, I'm speaking about CM Punk, what a testament to the guy. Like, you can tell, like, he's very invested into coming back to wrestling. And you know what? Even though he lost, stayed strong, made MJF look like a million bucks.
So, couple things from this match. One thing that really stood out, okay? Mm-hmm. Punk hit an atomic drop.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he hit a reverse atomic drop. And do you know what a reverse atomic drop is called?
What's that?
First time I have heard it get called on TV.
Okay.
A Manhattan drop.
Yes.
Because it is an inverted atomic drop, and the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
It was a Manhattan project. So they call it a Manhattan drop. Fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, that was like the nerdy like wrestling stuff that I'm into. He almost killed himself on that Poison Rana. That Poison Rana looked like, dude, he freaking hit it. And the Pepsi plunge, never did it in WWE.
No, he never did, right?
Never did it in WWE because it was too close to a pedigree.
So good. So good. So good. You know, like that, like stuff like this makes me very happy as a wrestling fan.
Punk looked like he put on some muscle.
Gobbled it up.
Punk looked good, man. He thick boyed it up a little bit. And also, by the way, John Moxley put on some weight, put on some more muscle in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. He's getting big too.
Yeah, I think he's just like hitting the gym like real hard. It looks like
real hard. Yeah, he's training unbelievably.
Wardlow comes out in the middle of the match. I feel like that what they did was very fascinating with Wardlow. How did you read that?
I read it as they're slowly teasing it. It's going to happen, Wardlow and MJF. I mean, they're teasing it, but he's under contract and he's doing his job, and I think that's what they're telling you here.
So, two spots in the match that I thought were very well done. The tape choking Punk, covering it with the arm. Very cool.
Yeah, very creative.
And the slide of the ring that was very sleight of hand.
And you know what? In those moments, you know, that could go really bad if they're trying to hide it, but they hit it really well. And the only way you saw is that they did that jib shot and you saw him slide, give him the ring. Listen, I think everybody was protected really well in that match.
Absolutely.
Punk controlled, you know, that first half of the match. Punk looked really good. You could tell that he was, you know, sucking wind out at certain points, but this was the longest match he's done in God knows how many years. When's the last time CM Punk did a 40-minute match?
Oh my God!
No, really. Like, I'm serious. When is the last time he did a 40-minute match? That was not a Royal Rumble.
Undertaker WrestleMania. Maybe that was like 25 minutes, 20
something.
Minutes?
Yeah. This is probably one of the longest matches he's had in his career. Obviously, in recent time, Cena and him. I don't think Cena and him ever went 40.
That's Cena, the Summer of Punk match, possibly, but. Also, I think those intros, those intros were like 5 minutes each. So, you can't count the intro. Like this, went to it,
Money in the Bank 2011 went 33 minutes.
Okay.
So,
how long was the Undertaker match?
Oh, hold on. I got it here. I got it. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, MG Geek sent, was it Timothy? Okay. Let me see.
Sending you nudes again?
Tommy End and Matt Riddle. That was the match we saw.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Because they were doing MMA stuff on each other.
Yeah. He'll find what the longest match is. So Money in the Bank 2011 was 33 minutes. Maybe it was in Ring of Honor. That's wild to think about that it's been that long. But he put on a 40-minute match, and I think he looked good.
Yeah, man. Listen. People have started as wrestling fans do, they've started to turn on Punk a little bit, but I think this is like a weird redemptive offering for those fans, where it's like, he put MJF over, much deserved, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Much deserved. What else?
All right. I think we got a couple more things. We got some Dynamite next, Rampage, tomorrow, Adam Cole versus Evil Uno. FTW Championship, Ricky Starks versus Jay Lethal. That's going to be a fun one. Thunder Rosa versus Mercedes Martinez. And Sammy Guevara versus Isaiah Kennedy for the TNT Championship.
Cassidy.
What did I say?
Kennedy.
Isaiah Cassidy. Jeez. That wasn't even a typo. That was just me. and Dynamite next week, you have the Inner Circle team meeting. How do you feel about this Inner Circle stuff with Jericho basically being like, come on, guys?
I don't know. Okay. We'll see what happens. It's fine. And maybe it's a swerve. Maybe they come out and they're all hanging out and then somebody interrupts and beats them up and then they reunite,
What if they kick Jericho out and make Eddie Kingston the leader of the Inner Circle?
Yeah, where is Kingston? He should be coming back, right?
Yeah. And you're also getting... Hangman versus Lance Archer in a Texas death match.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out. I'm very curious. There one criticism. We're not seeing a lot of Hangman defending the title.
No, and he's mentioned that in his promo. So yeah. that might just be like the way it's written, which I find kind of interesting. Like he wants to fight, yet he's unable to for some reason, right?
Yeah. This may be the beginning of the change to that.
Yeah. And I think they dropped the drinking thing, right? Like completely.
Oh yeah, he's not a drunk anymore. He's not a drunk.
You want to do some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it, guys. If you have any questions, leave them in the chat. If you want your question answered at the top of the questions, you can super chat us any amount. It's appreciated. It goes to supporting the show, and your name and avatar will be on the screen. All right, let's jump into it. Let's see, we got a hold on, this is from James, super chat $4.99. after winning Bola this weekend, does AEW push Daniel Garcia to join Daniel Bryan and Moxley into a more main event role?
I don't know. I think what he's been doing has been okay. They're very high on him. There's something unique, which I like that style. He takes it very seriously. He's a grappler, great mat wrestler. Do you want him and Danielson together in some way?
I wouldn't mind having that stable of like technical wrestlers, but I think the future for Daniel Garcia, at least the immediate future, could be that TNT championship.
Okay. Yeah, I think he'd be a great competitor for that.
Yeah, and he works well with everybody. I think this last few months of him being on AEW TV has really been a molding process, where he really did fight a ton of top tier talent, right?
By the way, X-Pac, article came out that X-Pac said that the WWE was not interested in having him return during the Rumble. As far as the Rumble goes, I gave WWE a heads up that I'd be ready if they wanted me, X-Pac said during an interview with Sports Illustrated. I wasn't actively campaigning for it. I wasn't going to do that, but I let them know, and I guess they weren't interested. Dude, this guy, I want to see X-Pac have a nice small run.
Absolutely.
You know why? It'll erase all the bad stuff. You know, like all like I want. He was very underrated. I had to tell you, X-Pac. If you, I've gone down like this early like 1993 rabbit hole.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And there's like a lot of X-Pac stuff. He was doing shit that nobody was doing at that time. Nobody was his size.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was still like 200 pounds.
He's an interesting guy too. And he wasn't as small as people think he is. You know, he's like a larger, he's like 6 feet tall. Maybe
he's 7 foot two, dude. He's 6'1", X-Pac.
He's 7'8".
7'8". He's 6 foot one. He's a tall dude.
Would you pop if continuing, you know, like the Billy Gunn and his boys versus Christian angle, if Road Dogg and X-Pac show up?
Oh, my God.
Would you go bananas?
I would. You, like, I, you know what? I would
doing
probably
like a DX reunion.
I would probably in a couple of weeks be like, eh, okay. I don't. We've seen this so many times, but like, I want to kind of see it just for the, to see it. You know, I'm into seeing it.
Yeah.
I don't want to continue though.
Yeah, like once or twice. Like if they guard it, not overexpose a return of DX. All right.
Wild.
Let's see. We got a Cadillac Carson. $9.99. Thanks. Do you think Charlotte versus Ronda will get the same reaction that Brock versus Goldberg got at WrestleMania 20?
Hope not. I don't think so. I don't think we will get, because the reason why they got that reaction is because everybody knew that it was their last match and people took it as you turned on us. And WWE anticipated that to happen. That's why they interjected Stone Cold in that match to kind of take away, because you don't want to boo. If Stone Cold's in the ring and they still boo, they were in New York, first of all, they were at the Garden. WWE also has ways to prevent that from happening now.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get that.
No. All right. Let's see. This is from Orion.
Oh, wait, Andrew, did you missed it? He said, would you have sent your goons after me and Kyle if we had not paid you?
Oh, absolutely. Except Kyle is one of my goons.
He is one of your goons.
Let's see. Orion, any news on the lack of NXT superstars in Bumble matches?
So they had they were backstage, ton of them. Not a ton, but quite a few. There were also a lot of legends backstage that they chose not to use. I think they just went down a different reaction. They put so many legend returns in that women's match. I think they were just like, nah, we're just going to keep this straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up WWE guys, you know? What'd you think of Hardcore Country playing? Hardcore Country.
I think it's just a funny song. Let's see here. MG, can you throw those super chats into the queue, please?
Yeah.
Because we're kind of getting lost here. Let's see. This is from Myron Pereira. $7.99. Thanks, Myron. What's up, guys? Who are your favorite wrestlers of all time? And who are your favorites at present? And also, who is going to win the Elimination Chamber?
Okay, give me your two top favorite wrestlers of all time, past and two current. You can only pick two.
Eddie Guerrero, Mick Foley.
Eddie Guerrero, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go Austin and Hogan.
Okay.
Current day. Who's your current day?
Current, I'm going to go Kenny and probably Mox. Actually, you know what? Kenny and Okada.
I'm going to go Danielson.
Still might too. Yeah.
Danielson and I'm gonna pick one guy from WWE. It's going to be, you know what? Lashley and Danielson right now.
Ooh,
currently,
right.
Currently today at this very moment. Now, this shifts tomorrow. It's very possible it shifts tomorrow.
Great, great. And who do you think is going to win the Elimination Chamber?
Brock.
Yeah.
Bork is winning.
Yeah, Brock straight up.
Hey, is Mansoor in it?
He'd win it.
Why not Mansoor? Put Mansoor in that thing. Have him win it.
All right. Let's see here. Oh, this is one for you. This is from Manny Santos. Yeah. What are you expecting from the earnings call today?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm looking forward to hearing what they talk about. I'm curious if anybody's going to ask about Shane in that earnings call.
Ah, send him out. Hulk Hogan Linda is punished.
You think he punished him? You think he's like, go to your room?
Oh, that would have been hysterical. And he does have like a little room somewhere in the arena.
He has a little room. It's just posters from the early 90s, dude. It's like, Shane definitely had a Marky Mark poster in his room.
You think so?
Had to have.
Do you think Vince sent him to his room in the arena, and it's like a 13-year-old boy's room
from 1992? Yeah.
He like slams the door, and it's still like open a little bit, and then Roman is like knocks on the door.
I'm calling your mother.
And he's like, "Hey, champ, you know, I saw what happened with your dad. Hey, but I just want you to know he loves you.
Your dad told me to come and talk to you. Listen, I know he's spending some time with the other kids, but, you know, he's missing a dad. Maybe that's the whole thing. Austin Theory doesn't have a dad, and, like, Vince is, like, trying to be a good father to him.
Do you think this would have all come down to Austin Theory versus Shane at WrestleMania?
No, unfortunately, I don't think it was going to. I think, unfortunately, it was going to lead to him versus, like, Bobby Lashley or, like, a Seth, you know, a Seth Rogen. What if he was facing Seth Rogen?
I'd love that. Yeah. Shane versus Seth Rogen? All about it. Yeah. Oh, what am I doing here? All right, this is from Good Luck Fale.
That turned into my Ray Romano.
My mom. What am I doing here? That's a really good Ray Romano. I'll give that to you.
Thank you.
You do a great Alex Jones and a great Ray Romano.
I can't do the Alex, though, man. It ruins me. I got to be a little lit to do the Alex, because like then I explore the like all my Anunnaki stuff.
Reptilians, mole men, center of the earth.
I think that voice is as close as you will get to like a growly metal singer's voice. This is like kind of hurts your throat a little bit. This is from Good Luck Fale on Twitch. Yeah. As the WrestleMania card is taking shape, what do you think is the plan for Omos? Mm-hmm. Could he be getting built up?
Could he be getting built up to eat the L from Goldberg? I don't think Whoopi's going to be there, dude.
Yeah, I gotta move. You know what? That's my fault because
you want to read
setting.
It again?
Yeah, the setting on VMix is just like in the way of the question.
Right. Good luck, Fale. As the WrestleMania card is taking shape, what do you think is the plan for Omos? Could he be being built up to eat the loss from Goldberg? Not Whoopi though. Bill. They're related. Yeah, they're related. They're cousins. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Omos and Goldberg. I know that they would like to have him there if they're going to have him there. I don't know what his plan is. I haven't heard anything about neither one of those two.
Yeah. Here's an update on the CM Punk longest match. This is from Elite POV. CM Punk's longest match, IWA Mid-South Wrestling in 2003. 2 out of 3 falls match, 92 minutes and 15 seconds versus Chris Hero.
Wow. So would this be his second longest match?
I think so, right?
Wow. That's cool.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty fascinating.
He did a 40-minute TV match. Wild.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. This is from Felsey Jr. 71. I feel like Impact is one of the most consistently well-written and executed shows that is extremely hard to find for fans. Any chance Anthem knows how little clearance Access has?
Yeah, they definitely know. They own Access. They're very in the know of things. I mean, I believe they had like almost 200,000 viewers last week. So Impact's numbers have been growing. I mean, they were getting like 89,000 at one point, and now they're getting in the 200s. You know, I'm curious to see if that Mickie James thing did anything, that Royal Rumble pop did anything for them. We'll see, but Impact has been putting on good shows. I just feel like it's too stale. It's too stagnant, the TV. You know, you fill that building up, maybe it's going to be a different story. I just feel like Impact is in this weird bubble where they're not getting as much attention as they should, because the wrestling's been good. The TV's been good.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like it's just lost because it's not readily available, but also I don't think people really, it's one of those things where it's like, if you're searching for it and it's not there immediately, people might just kind of be like, you know what? I'll read a recap, you know?
Yeah.
This is from Kenzie Abbott. Are you guys excited for WWE 2K22? They added GM mode.
No, I kind of stopped playing it. The last one I bought was 19, and by the way, Punk also had a 2-hour draw with Joe This was another long match that he had.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, he did a 2-hour draw.
2004?
I don't know. I don't. Maybe it could have been a Ring of Honor match. That game has gotten so beyond what I'm capable of doing that the live, like the simulation stuff,
it's too real.
Oh, it was 2 1-hour draws. I'm sorry, 2 1-hour draws.
Oh, okay. Not
two-hour draw. Punk had 2-hour draws with Joe. It's 2 1-hour draws. There we go. Okay. I don't know. Do you still play those games? Because I feel like it's become such a simulation where I can't. I'm like too slow for this stuff. That's why I'm looking forward to that AEW game because it's going to be more reminiscent of what, you know, I played when I was in high school.
Yeah, my gaming habits have for sure changed over the last few years because, like, I could care less about GM mode.
What do you do?
Just those
hentai games? Is that all you play now?
I do a lot of those hentai games with my mouse pad that's shaped like a woman's body with boobs.
Yeah.
I have a whole hentai setup.
Do you have the pillow? Do you have, like, the hentai pillow?
Got the big butt pillow. Got the mouse pad. Got the costume. No, my gaming habits have changed where, like, I could care less about GM mode. I just want a game that I could crack open and play, and if people come over, they'd have fun playing it. And if I want to spend the time to play something, it has to be like a massive open world game like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I spent, I think, 140 hours on that game.
Wow.
Or something shorter like Metroid Dread, which is like a 10-hour classic console game. Pretty fantastic.
You know? I have a confession.
Yeah.
September of 2020.
Uh-huh.
I went down the World of Warcraft rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
I got back into WoW. WoW Classic.
Wow.
I got so into it because I remember when I got super sick for like a month?
Yeah.
I couldn't go to work. I had double pneumonia. So all I did was like 6 hours a day play WoW with Deacon. And Deacon would like guide me through the game. I loved it. I had so much fun playing that stupid game. It's it was the same as 2004. And then I hit level 60 and I was like, okay, I'm done here. And I never played it again.
You haven't picked it up since two years ago almost. Wow.
And you know what? I could have done it throughout the whole freaking pandemic. I could have played the game. Didn't even, had no urge to play it.
Very interesting. You ready for another question?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is from AJ Marshall. Do you think Shane will show up in AEW?
No, never. Impossible.
How?
Never going to happen.
How would you, all right. This is totally a fantasy situation, right?
Yeah.
What would your reaction have been if yesterday morning, you know, people were like, Shane's fired, Shane's gone, blah, 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 blah. What would you have done, you personally, if this dude showed up and opened AEW last night?
I think that would have been like a, historically with wrestling, I think it would have been like one of the biggest moments ever. Like that people talk about, not that it had like this importance to it or changed the business, but I think it would be one of those moments that like people talk about it for like 30 years. However, I don't think he would ever do that to his family.
No.
Or to his company. You know, at the end of the day, he's still a McMahon. This is his grandfather. His great grandfather built it. His dad created wrestling by today's standards. I don't think he would ever see that. And the same thing goes for Hunter. A lot of people are like, well, where's Hunter? Hunter should just, I can't believe how many people just say Hunter should quit and start his own business. I'm like, first of all, do you know what kind of NDAs this man has signed?
Oh,
not only is he privy to all this corporate information, he's also privy to like normal family conversations.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that he has signed such NDAs and paperwork that he will never work in wrestling outside of WWE. It's impossible.
Never work in this town again. Yeah.
You will never work in this town ever again.
I think, but like, that's just like a weird fantasy situation. Like Shane opens Dynamite and he says like, listen, I didn't buy Dynamite, but my new partner is Tony Khan and they come out and do like a promo.
God. It's just,
would you flip out? Would you have been like, what the F is happening right now?
I would go down. I would call Brian Kendrick and ask him if he has access to the center of the earth.
Oh, boy. All right. This is from David Claire Bennett. Random but curious, where is Noam Dar?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a great question. I have no idea. I don't have an answer to that.
All right. Yeah,
he had a lot of upside at one point. People were really into him, and then it just went away.
Let's see. This is another good one here. This is from Felsley Jr. 71. Is there any chance that the inclusion of the former Ring of Honor talent in Impact leads to Impact having a hand at the Supercard of Honor relaunch? Will it lead to Impact versus ROH?
I can see that very much happening.
Yeah.
Very, very much. And I think that that should be it. You know what's set? I think a lot of people forget, but that CCW versus Ring of Honor stuff, do you remember how big that was? And yeah. it really brought a lot of attention. Sometimes these crossovers really work well. I think if they did do an Impact and Ring of Honor thing, it would be beneficial for both of them. These two companies should be working together. Noam is in NXT UK, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have not watched NXT UK for a while now. I've just had no time.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. All right, this next one is from Colonel Stutters. Was this Shane being fired from his talent contract or from the company as a whole? That's a good question.
I don't think Shane... I don't know the status of Shane's contract. By the way, I have not heard of a release, okay? In speaking to people at WWE, I have not heard that he was released. I think he just went home.
Okay.
So
he just went home.
I think he just went home. I don't think he was like a formal, like they didn't put out that Shane McMahon's been released. I don't think he will. I could tell you that in talking to people somebody that I spoke to pretty much said like when he asked about it or she asked about it or they asked about it, the reaction was kind of like, yeah, people that know stuff are just being quiet and they're like looking down at the floor, like not responding. So what does that say to you? So. Okay. I think it's a messy situation.
This is one from Elite POV. Question, any news on Cross and him posting a picture of himself in Chicago last night?
Where he ends up is going to be interesting. I can tell you off the air.
Ooh, excellent. Yeah. Well, Keith Lee's 90-day was up, I think, on Tuesday. And I think people were expecting him to show up last night. You want to do one more?
I think Keith Lee should go. If there was one person that they take, I think it should be Keith Lee.
Yeah. AEW. Yeah. I think it would have to be like an interesting debut to get eyes on him, right? Like he shows up on Dark or something. And then it's like, well, how do you get more eyes on Dark, you know?
No, I think Dynamite, dude. Just have him debut and start a feud with somebody.
Or Rampage, too, you know?
Or like, Rampage, have him show up on Rampage.
What if Keith Lee shows up and destroys Hook?
Him as a heel, though?
Big heel, yeah.
Big heel. I think there's room for Lee there. I think put him in a major, major program off the bat. You know what? Him and Adam Cole. What if you do him and Cole again?
Him and Cole would be awesome. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing him as a heel. Like, listen, why not either team Taz, he's another heavy, or team him up with Lance Archer. Like two big bad dudes.
Okay. I'm into that.
You want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is from Eric Prezzano. What's more impressive and a harder technique to learn? The Danhausen point or the green mist?
No, the great Danhausen point. Because the green mist, you could just rub your glands. And then it happens. It's just a technique of how you do it. So by, you know, like you could do it and then it could be a happenstance where the green mist comes out. But the fingers, that's training. It's a vaudeville thing. You got to train professionally.
Mm-hmm. It's a vaudeville thing. All right. Do you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This is actually a pretty good one. This is from Connor Augenstein. Are PLEs on Saturday set in stone now? I'm just curious how their numbers are compared to Sundays.
I don't think we'll ever know, and I don't think they even care about those numbers because they got the money.
Yes.
So I think it'll be on Saturdays as long as there's no boxing or MMA or anything big happening. Maybe they discovered that Saturdays are a better day. I got to tell you, though, for the Rumble, it kind of threw me off that it was on. Mm-hmm. This is the first pay-per-view. I was like, I kind of want it to be on a Sunday. It was wacky how it happened, but
yeah.
All right. I mean, we prefer Saturdays, right? Because we got to watch it and cover it, and then we got busy Mondays.
Yeah. But you know what? I do like the Saturdays. Like I like it way more.
I don't know. I think it depends on your schedule. There are certain people that love Sunday. I would have loved for these Saturday pay-per-views a couple of years ago.
Mm.
Especially when they were like 8 hours long, these pay-per-views.
Oh, good God, yeah.
You know. Is that it?
Yeah.
Are we good?
That's it.
All right, guys. That's it. I got to get to work. I got to get on that train.
Got to get on that train, baby.
1227. 1226. Got a busy day. Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me at BTC Rich on Twitter.
All right. And you can find me at Andrew Zarian. I'll be back Sunday with Wrestling Observer Live back at 6 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be back on the radio. We got our producer back, so that should be a lot of fun. 6 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back with that. We're Live Pal on Tuesday and everything else that we're doing. And Rich has a bunch of podcasts also that he's doing.
Yeah, you can find me on Film Class Zeros. You can find me on Behind the Counter 2.0. All that stuff is online. Go check it out.
By the way, they stole the 2.0. They stole it from you.
Yeah, I know. I got to find those guys. I got to send Kyle after them.
You got to send Kyle after them. All right, guys. That's it for this week. We'll see you all next time. Take care.